届くまで I believe 一つの明日
Hey everybody, welcome to your Thursday, June 6th Jumpcast, the only manga podcast you can share with your friends once. Joining me this week are Greg Jan and Mike Lemieux, who I'm now revealing was actually Robin Van Gilder the entire time.
Yeah, that's the big twist.
It's pretty impressive that you managed to pull off both of those voices when, you know, you were two of the three people in it.
Yeah, I know, like, you would think that I've done several episodes with him, and I've actually never read JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, so that was all total bullshit.
We need to just ignore all conflicting evidence, because if ignore it, then we start questioning it, and it makes things weird.
Like those photographs and history of us being separate people. Yeah.
So, Bleach!
Oh, I'm ready for this. I've been ready for this for a couple days.
This may be...
We have to do this right. Let's start at the start of the chapter.
Okay.
like police officers doing a bust, we have to do this by the books.
So Sword Guy is building Ichigo's new sword.
Yes.
And has all of his swords jump in and beat the crap out of him.
Yes. While Ichigo and Hollow Ichigo watch.
All of his lady swords, who have wacky personalities. You can't see, but I'm doing jazz hands while I say that.
So I think that you need to plug in a webcam just so we can upload that little bit of video.
That'll be the album art for this week, is just like a gif of me doing jazz hands.
So the lady swords turn Hollow Ichigo into a sword.
Yes. It's like a much easier crafting process than I thought it was going to be. Like, this guy really doesn't do much.
He basically just melts him down and then puts a tooth in there.
They all turn into, like, they bring out the tools or make the tools that he is going to be using.
Or are the tools.
Then he takes off his sunglasses and pulls back his hair and starts actual work. Oh, they're called the Sword 5, by the way.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be important knowledge you need to commit.
We'll never see them again.
Yep. So he's banging on the sword, trying to shape it, and Ichigo's like, hey, maybe you should have your sunglasses on. Because...
it's very bright.
He's like, no, now I need to see it. And then they get into the stupid. And if you have not read this week's Bleach chapter, you may be thinking, you say that every week. You say Bleach is always stupid, but no, this one's actually worse.
So, we find out that the Hollow is actually Ichigo's Zanpakuto spirit. You know, Hichigo, the white guy.
Yes.
That he was supposed to be his original...
What was it for a while? Odgichi or whatever it is, saying his name backwards?
Oghiki?
Yeah. I don't know.
So you might be thinking to yourself, hey... if that's Ichigo Zanpakuto, then who was that other guy for the last, what chapter is this, 500 chapters?
Yeah, Old Man Zangetsu.
And it turns out, because Bleach is a terrible manga, that it was Juha Bak.
The whole time.
Yep.
Which I think we have all thought, wow, those two kind of look similar, but
I'll be honest.
Concept of making that jump of
life. I'll be honest, I never thought they looked similar. They were just... black-haired dudes with beards. There's like six of those.
I thought Kubo Chide was being lazy. I thought he was just reusing a design that he doesn't really use that much since Zangetsu became Bishi.
Kuroraku, the dude with two swords. Like, every black-haired guy has that same scruffy beard. Ichigo's dad has that beard.
What beard?
But it's a thousand years prior.
No, Zangetsu has the same scruffy...
Yeah,
okay. Apparently, it just filled out over a thousand years.
Yeah, so, like, that's where Bak was laying low, was in Ichigo.
Well, no. That's his, you know, Quincy power. So, just like... I'm assuming that this is supposed to be kind of like how they're all his sons or whatever it is. That is the internal Ichigo, like, symbolism, the way that it appears sort of thing.
This is the way he controlled those Quincy's the night Ichigo's mother died.
Uh-huh.
Except yeah, Ichigo, I guess, has control of him, sort of.
Yeah, this is all fucking bullshit, because they, like, specifically said what Zangetsu was, like,
yeah, and, you know, and they've merged, and he turned into a Bishi and everything else.
No one ever said that ever again. Espada.
Yes, they did! Aizen did! I'm sick of that.
That's the joke.
I know. And the joke here is the pages of explanation from Hollow Ichigo about how him and Zangetsu are two halves of the same spirit, and they are both his Zanpakuto.
Well, they've maybe his Zanpakuto was part Quincy. Did you ever think of that?
Damn it! Hate this fucking manga!
What chapter page was that Zangetsu,
I don't know, that was like, let's see, he goes in and Zangetsu's not there, and I think that was when he was fighting Kenpachi, is when that happened? When he had to fight
Hollow? Well, no, that's the first time that he, or the second time he meets Zangetsu or something like that. Here we go, chapter 218, page 18.
Let's all read together.
Yes. And as a side note, Tinai is apparently really good at finding specific panels, like what chapter they are.
You said 218?
Yep. Page 18.
I'm still just completely speechless about this. Like, why did he need to retcon that? Why? Why couldn't it just be like, oh, Zangetsu doesn't work anymore, here's your new one?
Because...
And I quote, Hollow Ichigo, I am just one part of Zangetsu.
Well, maybe the old man wasn't actually named Zangetsu, and he was just making that up.
Maybe Juha Bak is part Hollow.
I don't care.
Which is
anymore.
Why he was hanging out in Hueco Mundo.
The reason this bothers me is it's the relatively simple reason this bothers me is that I liked Zangetsu.
Yeah.
He was a cool design. And now they sort of fucked him up.
It just feels like he's grabbing things out of the trash bin, like polishing them a little bit with his sleeve and going like, yeah, this plot device works, sure.
Also, how could Yoroichi not tell this? Wasn't she literally in a room with Ichigo and Zangetsu?
True, yeah. When he stabbed those statue things.
The machine that pulled out his Zanpakuto pulled out Zangetsu, not...
I'm guessing that Kubo is just banking on the fact that the only people reading it in the magazine at this point are newer readers.
I've seen people say that they love this twist, and going back and being like, oh, you know, when he said this, he really meant this. And what they're doing is they're taking... scanlation, you know, English translations and finding double meaning in those words, which just seems faulty from the start. Like, they're drawing hidden meaning from things that were not even the original phrases.
There's Bible parallels to be made here.
Yes, exactly.
It just,
because
it's so stupid.
Stupid.
Like, all of this is just awful. There's no reason to make this retcon. Literally none.
He didn't need to. He swerved and hit the child. He could have just kept going straight.
The reason to do so is because this is my prediction. Once Ichigo gets his new sword, he's going to go to that inside place to have a fight against a piece of Juha Bakht. So they're going to have another fight against Zangetsu, guy.
The Hollow and Zangetsu even fused and became his true Zanpakuto.
Yep. Zangetsu seemed like he always wanted to help Ichigo. Like, he was never completely... You never got the sense that he had any other ambitions than, you know, being Ichigo's sword.
You know, like every other Zanpakuto we saw.
Yes.
Like,
except
Renji's.
For that one filler arc.
Yeah. That filler arc wasn't too bad. That was pretty good.
It started out good. It dragged on way too long.
Well, how did he make a Bankai out of a Quincy part?
Very carefully.
Shouldn't that not at all be possible?
Well, you know, it's the Kubo thing of, like, here's a very specific rule, now let me go back and tell you why the other 9 times it did not actually follow.
Oh,
that.
God. That's why he couldn't steal his Bankai, wasn't it? Because it was a quint... What? Aw, oh, no. Mm. Oh, Bleach. The fact that this was thought out actually bothers me more.
Okay, I guess we just have to accept, like, this has happened.
Yes.
We're living in a post-Juhabaketsu world.
So, here's what I think. I think it's going to come out that Ichigo's training to fight Aizen is what reawoken Juhabak. That Ichigo's going to somehow be responsible. Like, his power gave Bak the spark that he needed to come back.
But I thought he was already awake when he killed all those Quincy.
Yeah, like, that's too convenient. Maybe it's the final push which allowed him to free himself.
Yeah, are you telling me something in Bleach might not make total sense if you think about it?
He's going to go back and retcon what just happened a couple of chapters ago. Okay, I will give
Bleach.
Your
father is actually Juhabak.
I'll give Bleach this. At least it's not just slice of life about Shinigami this week.
I don't know, there was that dumb thing with those girls for half the chapter.
True, but I mean,
That was still actually moving along at a fairly decent pace for Bleach, let's be honest.
A for effort. He actually somewhat tried. He just
And let's be honest, it is a plot twist that none of us saw coming.
I kind of saw it coming, though, because I'm sure if I went back to one of the jump casts, I'd said it on here, that it was weird how much he looked like Zangetsu.
This is why it's good to record everything you say.
Yep. Nixon had the right idea.
Well, the problem is searching through it to find the appropriate quote, though. All right, so here's what I think we need to do. I think we need to make
Suicide
the
pack.
Most ridiculous predictions that we can just to see if he manages to outdo them over the course of this arc.
Okay, I got it. Yorichi is actually his mother.
I think his mother...
Or Ichigo's?
Anyone?
I think his mother is also somewhere inside of him, and she's going to come out at a crucial moment when he's fighting Zangetsu.
When he goes in to meet the Kyuubi, and then
his
mom's going to talk to him?
Through chakra.
Yeah.
That was stupid, too, but it was at least kind of sweet.
I think somehow, some way, it's going to end up that his mother is still alive.
God, this is just like if they
I think that is going to be the female that he is going to rescue this arc is his mother.
This is like
there is always a female that he rescues.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right.
That's not even a dumb prediction. That's an accurate prediction.
I think the Shinigami who lost their soul blade or their Zanpakutos are going to take in Quincy parts and get Zanpakutos that way.
Fight fire with fire.
Yes. They're going to have their own little pieces of Juhabak or whatever. And make new swords.
This was just so unnecessary.
Yep. It'd be like if you found out Rukia had never really existed. It was just like,
or if
Ichigo was like motivation.
Or if Rukia was Juhabak the whole time.
That first like, one was actually not terribly far off the plot of one of the Bleach movies. It's everybody except for Ichigo forgot that Rukia existed.
All sort of dumb, but also, from what I remember you guys explained to me of one guy's power, that doesn't sound out of the realm of Bleach.
Retcon power?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That was actually a pretty power in practice.
Yeah, and let's be honest, when it was first demonstrated, it was creepy. I don't know how else to describe it.
Because they're, like, fighting them, and then all of a sudden everyone stops, and they're like, huh, what were we fighting? And then Ichigo starts yelling at the guy, and it's like, hey, why are you yelling at him? He went and saved Rukia with us. You know, he fought this guy. You know, they're like,
And, like, all of his friends were turning against him. Like, it was actually pretty well done.
Yeah. You know what wasn't well done?
This?
Yes. I'm
Quincy's
so angry.
Quincy's in general?
I understand his need to tie everything together if this is going to be the last arc, but come on.
Doesn't this kind
of
like...
You don't think that this was planned, you know, 400 chapters ago? You don't think that he had an inkling of this idea?
No. I think he's taking advantage of all his people looking the same.
Does this kind of diminish the fact, like, Ichigo as a hero a little bit, that he just wasted, like, the last 500 chapters with using a clearly evil sword?
I don't think it diminishes that. I think that the entire, oh, you get your powers largely because your mom was bitten by this special hollow way back in the day kind of diminishes him.
Well, now he's got powers from that, and Quincy's, and Shinigami, and hollows, and...
Parentheses, half.
Yes. I'm telling you, he's going to be half Mexican.
They announced Ichigo for the new Jump fighting game.
That took a while. And
I was saying that they should make him a stance character so he can just automatically switch to whatever best suits the fight at any time.
He's going to be half Saiyan and like grow a tail.
At this point, I believe it.
He doesn't actually turn into a giant monkey under the moon. It's just he grows the tail during the moon.
It turns out the pale hollow was emblematic of the Saiyan moon.
The tail was Juha Bak the whole time. You just didn't, just didn't notice.
Didn't you notice the resemblance?
Juha Bak the whole time is going to be a new thing, isn't it?
I'm sure.
Oh, I did not like the chapter.
I mean, more than just being...
I don't even know what else to say about it.
Just more than it being bad, it was just completely unnecessary. Like, this just didn't need to exist in any form.
When I read this chapter, I just got... I could feel a very confused look on my face, and I said, what aloud? I couldn't parse what I was reading at first.
I think I was talking to Greg while I was reading it. You were trying to tell me something about One Piece.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah, we'll I'm reading Bleach. That. Then I was like, wait, what? And then you just went, yep. You're right. This is swerving to hit the child.
They're worth more points.
All right, I'm done with Bleach.
I'm done with Bleach too.
On to Beelzebub, or should I say, Feelzebub?
The feels, man.
Yes, because last chapter, all the demons were down, Furuichi was down, and Oga is confronting Takamiya.
And the chapter's title is "You're the One Who's Going to Die," so this is going to be good.
Yep. But Oga kicks Takamiya in the face, and a lot of the chapter is basically them going back and forth
with really good action panels.
Yeah. I love Oga like headbutting his fist.
Yeah, so the fist starts bleeding.
Yeah. And Takamiya doesn't kind of know what the fuck, but he realizes that Oga's relying way too much on his demon, who has possessed him. So Takamiya clearly doesn't see this as a mutual relationship.
He sees every demon as a master-servant thing.
Yeah. And so he says, you're not even using that demon for like the full power of its fighting. And then he reveals Lucifer, his
it
Lucifer.
Looks creepy.
It is a little girl.
Yep.
It looks like a child Griffith.
You know, I should have realized it was going to be a little gothic Lolita girl, because this is anime, after all.
Yes.
Are you sure that that's a girl?
Yes.
Let's be honest here.
Well, she's wearing a dress.
New Beelzebub love rival.
But, yeah, fucking creepy.
At least it's not Lucifer in blue jeans on a cell phone.
Yes. So she, like, reaches out to Oga, and that, like, teleports Takamiya straight to him. Wherein he uppercuts him in the face.
Yep, uppercut where he bounces off the ceiling and then a wall, and then...
Beel comes off him.
Yeah. That panel, that punch panel right there, like, actually, that whole two-page spread is just fantastic.
Yeah.
Agiel and Furuichi are pretty freaked out by it.
So Furuichi kind of comes to, and Takamiya says that he's disappointed in Oga because he expected way more. So the only option he has is to kill Furuichi.
Because that would make Oga turn Super Saiyan, you know.
Yes.
And then Oga goes Super Saiyan. And...
Yes.
Well, Oga not exactly. But...
He uses the milk to use a spell that reaches Takamiya with explosions.
He creates a series of Zebub symbols, and yes. The explosion causes all of them to explode until it hits him.
Well, it distracts him.
Yeah, it's the same move that didn't work earlier.
But more, because yes. More symbols.
And then Oga comes around behind and does
pinballs him off the wall, basically.
Yeah, I love the awesome punch.
I love the zoom in on the face with the punch. Just, I don't know, the art is just on fire in this chapter.
Yeah, no kidding. Ridiculously good, even though he's not really doing much with the backgrounds, he doesn't really need to.
Well, the backgrounds are going away to show action.
Yeah.
Clearly.
And then Furuichi yells at him, saying, you're trying to kill me too.
Yeah, after the school explodes from this punch.
Yeah.
And Takamiya gets back up and realizes that means that
he's
threatening Furuichi actually does, you know, work on Oga. It does make him stronger.
He seems almost masochistic. He's super happy that hurt him.
Yeah, like, I'm not entirely sure what he's trying to accomplish here.
Well,
I think I'm betting he wants Oga to kill him.
Yeah. I would guess maybe he's not the one in charge of Lucifer. Like, if he needs someone to beat him, to stop him, like, but and he can't do that under his own power.
Yeah. So Lucifer takes control, sort of, and basically runs a sword arm through Furuichi.
And then pulls out his heart.
Yes. Despite the plan working, Furuichi still gets to die.
Now, I'm going to go ahead and guess there's going to be some like One Piece ass magic here, and that he's still alive despite not having his heart in his body.
Or should we call her Trafalgar or Lucifer?
Yes.
Lucifer. I am going to guess that Lucifer, because Lucifer was the one that killed him, his soul is going to go to hell, and we're going to have a Rescue Furuichi's Soul from Hell arc.
Oh, and he comes back as a demon or something?
Not necessarily as a demon, but, you know, that this will be their reason for going back to hell.
Maybe.
What if, and this is only a possibility, maybe not even a likely one, Furuichi's just legit dead?
Yeah, that would be kind of... I don't know. I don't think I could deal with that.
Yeah, that would be, like... There are other characters in this series who could die, and I would go, wow, that was dark, but think it was good character development, but killing Furuichi legitimately would, like, genuinely bother me.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, though, if you want to kill a character for an effect, the fan-favorite dumb guy... I mean, this is what happened with Krillin, right? They killed Krillin to make Piccolo a big bad guy.
And they had an active way to bring people back, so it... I mean, even then you knew it didn't matter, but it still kind of shocked you.
Well, I don't think... They hadn't brought too many people back to life at that point in Dragon Ball, right?
Actually, had they brought anyone back to life at that
point? Vegeta had just come back, like, minutes before.
No, I'm talking Dragon Ball. Like,
oh, Dragon Ball.
Yeah, no, the first time. Not... Okay. Yeah, but like, when Frieza kills him, it was...
It's one of those things, like, Krillin, you'll be dead for 20 minutes.
This is like Krillin's running late for dinner, and they go to look for him and find him dead in the street. Like, that part.
That was a pretty shocking moment in Dragon Ball.
Yeah, so I think this could be analogous to that.
I think while I would hate it, and while it would actually, like, legitimately bum me out, I think it'd probably be better in the long run for the manga if Furuichi was straight up dead.
I think he will die, and there will be a way to bring him back.
Yeah. Maybe, like, not this arc. Like, if they leave him dead this arc and then bring it up, like Hilda says, you know, we can actually go get his soul back.
I think he'd have to come back before they take out Takamiya.
I think for his death to matter, Oga has to legitimately think he's dead.
Yeah. This is still a conversation I did not think we would be having this week.
Yeah. Feels above.
Yeah. Definitely was not seeing this happening.
What was it last week? We were like, oh, they're not going to...
He's going to pick him up and run away.
Yeah, like that'll be the left turn it's going to take. Nope, it went just all the way in the other direction.
It managed to take the left turns that we never see coming. Like, we've been reading this manga for well over a year now, and we still have no good beat on it.
So this is like, they're
so
in a hallway.
So we need to start looking for right turns, basically.
Well, it's like coming to a T intersection, and we're like, okay, is it going to go left or right? And it just goes like straight right through the wall.
It swerves to hit the child, basically. Except in the situation of Furuichi with the child.
It was the child who swerved to hit Furuichi.
Lucifer is really creepy looking.
Yep.
I find it weird that she doesn't have, like, hands. She has this metal thing at the end that can turn into, like, tentacle-like fingers.
Does she not have hands? I didn't really look.
Look at... It's clearly a sword hand going through Furuichi. Then you see, like...
It seems like...
Holding the heart.
It seems like she's got blackness, like...
Just, like, dark hands? Darkness hands?
She has actual hands at some point. But I'm noticing... In a lot of the panels...
I'm not seeing him anywhere. Like, even when she's just sitting there, they're hidden by the flower.
You talked about it earlier. She reaches out towards Oga, and that's...
Oh, yeah.
But I'm noticing, looking through the chapter again, quite a bit of the time she has one hand directly behind Takamiya's head. Like, that's how she's sitting normally, is, like, holding a hand right behind his head.
She's using her left hand to reach out to Oga. What is she used on Furuichi?
Yeah, left hand.
Left.
Oh, okay.
Check out... I mean, you can see it pretty clear here. She sits in this position with her hand, like, directly behind his head. Very deliberate. I really do think maybe Takamiya is not the one in control here.
That would make sense.
Make him into a tragic figure and a friend afterwards. I mean, I'm going to go out on a limb and assume that Lucifer is not a good guy here.
I would guess not.
Nah, Lucifer's going to join their crew now.
I'm telling you, love rival for Beelzebub eventually.
If Lucifer's like the huge big bad, I don't wonder why they're using her now.
Sneak peek. I mean, we're at 2 of 3 of bad guys for this arc, and the second one has freaking Lucifer.
Yeah. The demon lord of demon lords.
Yeah. I don't think this will be the last we see of her.
I don't think that this is going to end up being, like, I think it's going to be Lucifer the same way that Beelzebub is Beelzebub. I think that this is going to be a child of the other Lucifer. Or something like that.
I don't know, Sao Tome seemed pretty convinced this was, like, a huge thing.
Yeah, no,
I... This was not like, you know, a...
Oh, I'm not saying that this isn't a huge thing. I'm just saying, isn't it possible that Sao Tome could be wrong and this is the child of...
Yeah, like our Beelzebub is Beelzebub 4. This will be Lucifer 4 or something.
I could see that.
Man, this chapter got real.
I was completely blindsided by that last page.
Yeah, you never expect, like, even though you probably should expect in the shonen manga that the hero's best friend will die at some point.
Yeah,
it still kind of came out of nowhere.
As the fight was looking hopeless, I was thinking, like, oh, here's the part where he's going to run away. Nope.
Furuichi dying would be an interesting rallying point for everybody.
It'd be funny if nobody cared, I think.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, somebody finally killed that pedo? Good.
They did they just gave him an arc where he was hugely badass.
Yeah. Now we know what's that called? When you start building up characters just to kill them.
I don't know that there's a term for it.
There is.
I'm sure that there's something on TV Tropes, but I'm not going to go looking.
It was in Venture Brothers. Don't link TV Tropes.
Yeah, Lucifer's also really freaky looking.
Like, the entire time, through this entire chapter, I was just totally getting Griffith from Berserk vibes.
I'm going to say that, for the very least, for a little while, it's either going to be magic heart that he can survive without, or he's going to be dead for a while.
I do like Lucifer. That's a pretty nice name.
I'm of those two, I would go with, I think that he's going to be dead for a while, and then we're going to find out that there is a way to bring him back.
I think for it to have the most impact, he needs to be dead until the end of this arc. Unless, you know, maybe there's a thing where Takamiya can save him, or Fuji can save him, but they need to beat him first.
Pathos, that's what it's called.
Glad we got that cleared up.
It's really a term that old? Huh.
Yeah. Represents an appeal to the audience's emotions. Pathos is a communication technique used most often in rhetoric. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that, you know, talks in terms of building a person up just to tear them down.
Oh, that's actually exactly what it is.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, at least that's how it was used in Venture Brothers. I don't know. Aristotle.
Okay, yeah.
Aristotle something something. Beelzebub.
Yeah, I think I'm buying the theory that she's a Lucifer, not the Lucifer.
I am 100% on board with her controlling Takamiya.
Yeah. That seems self-evident to me.
The hand behind the head is just way too much evidence.
God damn, this is such a good manga.
It really is.
And there's no Ass Class to take the place this week, so...
That's just not out yet. There is Ass Class.
Eh. Too bad, because I like last week's a lot.
You know what other great manga we get to talk about? With color pages?
One Piece?
Nisekoi.
Naruto?
Nisekoi?
No, the other one.
Bleach. Okay. So this week in Bleach, we find out that his sword has actually been Aizen the entire time. Actually, Aizen has been Juha Bak the entire time. Plot twist.
So Nisekoi, or should I say, my little sister can't possibly be this much of a jerk. Well, I guess we'll start first with the announcement of anime
which we talked about last week, but it has the wonderfully, horribly off proportions.
Wildly disproportionate.
Miyamoto looks like 2 feet tall.
Or Shu is like 6 feet tall.
I'm just going to go out there that Onodera would never wear that dress.
It's the Angelina Jolie dress, right?
Sort of, yeah. Same
style. Not now, but...
And Sugumi would also never wear that dress.
They're making the implicit argument that you should watch this because it has boobs.
It's a good argument, though, for their readers.
I mean, it's where Nisekoi has been trending lately anyway.
Yeah, it definitely has been pushing. For how much we talked about how it never did that early on, it's definitely been doing it a lot more.
Well, let's talk about Duodera.
Dosodera?
Dosodera, yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah.
We're not going to go those names.
She just announced that she was Onodera's sister.
And Raku vaguely remembers that something like this happened once. And Unodera at one point remembered that she said Ichijo-kun before. And I guess Dosodera heard her. And then this went on this wild thing of like, oh, that's that guy who has a supermodel girlfriend and a bunch of other girls that fall in love with him.
We have to call them Onodera and Haru. I can't keep this up.
Yeah. I gave it a shot. It didn't work.
It makes for an amusing joke, but...
So Chitoge shows up to this misunderstanding.
Because she doesn't know what's going on.
Yes.
And then Haru realizes just how hot his supermodel girlfriend is.
Yes. And explains that she's so beautiful and she's so cool.
And so
and Chitoge doesn't... She doesn't understand the actual situation that's going on, so she just, like, grabs hold of Haru and talks about how what a good girl she is.
She's a cutie pie.
Yes. And Tachibana takes this opportunity to also come and jump all over Raku. And now Chitoge and Haru are pissed.
Yeah, there's a great picture of Chitoge in the background with her bow making devil horns.
And
Tachibana I missed that down there, yeah.
Tachibana says that she has no desire, or she does not care at all that Raku has a girlfriend.
She will overcome because love conquers all.
And Raku's trying to explain that no, he's actually, like, Onodera trying to explain that Raku's actually kind of a nice guy. Haru doesn't really know.
Haru realizes everyone involved in this are horrible people.
Yeah, yes. Haru is just kind of like, you know, coming to the conclusion that most of the other people in the school is, this doesn't make any sense. What's going on?
And then she explained that Raku's a pervert who saw her panties.
Yes. Great reactions all around from all the characters.
Especially Chitoge.
Mari doesn't
especially Mari.
That she does not remember what innerwear she has put on today.
If she put on underwear today.
So
I think
Haru,
that she'd be able to remember that.
Haru is considering what clubs to join, and she thinks about the club, the caretaking club, where they're surrounded by cute little animals all day. Which actually sounds like a fantastic club.
Yeah.
Which apparently only has one member.
Which is Raku, who is talking to them and musing about how it would be so great if Onodera was there. So they could walk home together. And Haru, who assumes that Raku's relationship with Chitoge is legit, rightfully calls him out for being a bastard.
And a goose flips up her skirt.
Yep. Because, and she's still, or Raku comments on her panties again, that the bear is still pretty cute. Then for some reason, I'm guessing ratings, Onodera and Haru start taking a bath together.
Because they used to when they're kids, and that's totally something that people do to reminisce to times when they were kids, right?
Also, that bathtub is like 3 feet across.
Well, they're tiny girls.
Again, ratings. So Haru wants to know what Onodera thinks is so great about Raku, and she remembers something about a ring? I do not remember this part in particular.
I think that was something about, like, a lady had lost one and he found it or something like that in one of the early chapters.
It was one of those side stories.
Yeah, but, I mean, really what's funny is that she's talking about how, you know, he's such a selfless person and everything else like that, and it's funny to think that that might be the perspective that a person who's not inside of his head and hearing what he's thinking would think, but as the reader, I was reading this page and I'm like, yeah, that's complete bullshit.
He is kind of a bastard.
I wouldn't, like, I don't think he's a bastard. He just, for
sort of
how good his life is, he complains way too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they talk about Haru's prince that came and saved him, or saved her. And she says, oh, she has one lead to go on. And then, da-da-da, it turns out she has the necklace.
Which Raku somehow went the whole day without realizing he wasn't wearing, despite it looking like it weighs like 6 pounds.
Yeah, and, you know, she was able to lift it off of him while he was carrying her somehow, when she was unconscious.
The best part of this chapter is that Tsugumi and Paula's...
They get one panel at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Tsugumi recognizes that Paula is there.
So yes, Imran, I'm going to say that the entire pendant thing is a little more contrived than the fact that there's a younger sister.
Contrived.
Well, we didn't know last week. Now we have more contrivances.
Wasn't Raku not wearing that because it was like getting fixed or something?
They gave it back.
He got it back and they said they weren't able to unjam the lock.
Hmm.
Because they needed the story to continue on.
Yes. Honestly, is anyone going to care, like, when it turns out that there was somebody there? Raku still loves Onodera.
Yeah, like, it's long since past the point where it even really matters that much.
It'd be funny if it was Onodera's sister, though.
Oh man, that would be really funny. Just, like, she's like a baby. He gives her a key.
Then everyone starts judging him harshly. You monster.
But he's her prince.
I am a little, I don't know, do I want to say uncomfortable or weirded out, but it's somewhat off-putting that we both know his little sister, or her little sister, is going to join the harem.
I don't know. She might just be an occasional character like Shu.
Yeah, or she might just actually stick with the thing as trying to, you know, prevent the
as the new foil.
Raku Onodera relationship.
I don't think the fact that they have that pendant prince thing in there means there's a definite path to her joining the Raku Love fan club.
Or she might just not think he's such a terrible person.
Yeah.
That'll be her means to, you know, find, I don't know, satisfaction with the fact that her sister's crushing on him.
They do need characters that are not involved in this love triangle. So that's why it's a good thing that Paula and, I guess, Haru are in this now.
Yeah, I do enjoy Paula being there. That's pretty funny.
That has potential.
I'm glad they lent it the gravitas of the single last panel. Like, any more it would have been stupid, but that's actually pretty funny.
Just like this big deal for Tsugumi is just like an eighth of a page panel on the last page of the chapter.
Yeah. Man, that Juha Bok Zangetsu thing was dumb.
What if Haru is Juha Bok the whole time?
And she's been trying to break Raku and Onodera up.
Now, I know she specifically said that she's her younger sister, but just forget that for a second.
But we don't know how we don't know how the mom got pregnant the second time, so...
Yeah. Juha Bok
was
her friend.
She was really bitten by a hollow.
Wait, now I don't remember what bothered me. They do live together, so why were they walking to school separately?
I was hoping you wouldn't notice that.
Got you on this one, Nisagoe.
Because Onodera's club meets before school, so she had to... I don't know.
Onodera slept in because she's lazy and stupid.
Onodera's your favorite.
I didn't say I liked her because she was smart.
Oh, Nisagoe in a nutshell. Alright then, on to Naruto. Wherein Team 7 is still doing things and leering at each other.
I think I know
Sasuke
one word.
And Naruto are jealous of one another.
That's new.
New abilities.
I don't know that it's like jealousy or like...
sizing each other up.
Or, you know, just general, hey, look what I can do.
Showing off, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
because they love each other.
Speaking of showing off, Kiba shows off that he can do the Kage Bushin now.
He could make two of himself.
Ooh, whoa.
He said he only made one there.
Well, I mean, he has two
like
of
total.
Himself. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, slow down there, Kiba.
And then he turns into Cerberus, basically.
I mean, in fairness, Kiba did beat arguably the strongest guy in the Rescue Sasuke arc.
Yeah.
Sakon. I mean, before Kimimaro showed up.
I mean, he beat two of the strongest guys.
Yeah.
Sakon and Ukon.
Yeah. That always seemed like a weird pairing to me.
Remember when Kiba lost because Naruto farted on him?
Yes. The Chunin exam.
Yes.
That was the strangest and best ending to a fight.
I don't know. Blue humor is kind of... Naruto was pretty big on that in the beginning.
Yeah. So, Team 8 starts tearing the crap out of these monsters. I don't know exactly what we want to call them yet.
What was the Tentail? The Jubi?
Jubi.
Yeah.
Jubimon.
Yeah, Jubimon sounds good.
I like that...
Juchibi.
Shino. There we go. Yeah. put a single bog inside one of them, and he just exploded out.
Being devoured from the
inside. Because it is the giant parasite.
Yeah. Shino seems like the least... or the most underutilized of all the original Genin.
I think that's a joke about him. It's almost a gag that he hardly ever gets to do anything.
But, like, he has something that's so... it can be used for such great effect that they just never use it.
Like, the only fight we ever really saw of his was when he fought...
Tankuro.
Yeah.
Didn't he get a good fight?
Yeah, he got a bye in the tournament, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so. Wait, did he fight...
No, he did a... I think he did a sound ninja, one of the sound ones.
Oh, yeah, it was...
remember there were those three sound ninjas that got...
Yeah. Zaku, the guy with the air holes. Remember, he filled them.
Yeah, and he plugged them with his bugs.
Oh, yeah. So then Hinata reached her limit at 32 palms. Then she thought about it and then went past her limit.
Didn't Neji do 128 palms?
Yes.
When fighting Kitamaru? 64 is not that impressive anymore.
Also, remember that Neji is dead and Hinata's not. So I think she wins this one.
Yeah. It's like, suck it, Neji, who's number one now? Scoreboard.
But then she gets a pretty badass panel where her hands are like inflamed in chakra.
Oh, I didn't even notice. She's got like Kyuubi hands. Like monster hands.
Yeah. It's making faces with them.
And she's gonna prove that she can stand by Naruto forever, which is really sweet.
Also kind of pointless because she's nowhere near Naruto right now.
Yeah. And then Team 10 goes into action.
With their Inoshiga-Cho combination, which is different literally every single time they do it.
They have different formations.
So they are
actually probably the better team.
Like, oh yeah, no, they work together. Like,
so of all the Genin, they're probably the best ones.
I'm remembering right that the original thing is that Ino would make them walk into one of Shikamaru's traps where he would hold them still and then Choji would run him over, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So now it's that Ino takes control of Shikamaru, who uses a shadow to yo-yo Choji around.
Why couldn't Shikamaru just do that himself?
I don't know. Oh, she's acting as a sensor. I see.
So she can tell where all the enemies are.
So Shikamaru gets like 360-degree vision, so he can just take them all out.
It's actually a pretty decent strategy.
Yeah.
And maybe if Team 7 had like any strategy whatsoever, they'd be doing a lot better.
And speaking of Team 7, remember this guy?
This is probably my favorite part of Naruto in the last, let's say, 10 weeks.
Greg, why is Sasuke riding on that bird?
Sai just comes in, says, I'm also a member of Team 7, then immediately gets shot down.
And is mentioned again for the rest of the chapter.
My favorite part of this is Sasuke looking up and just going, huh? Just in complete confusion, like, who's that guy?
Who's that guy? I hate him and hope he barely appears after.
It's like, who's that guy? Shouldn't he remember him from the entire, you know, quote-unquote second, like, after the time skip rescue Sasuke arc? Because didn't Sai try to kill him?
Maybe they thought that, like, Naruto just built a doll that looked like Sasuke, but didn't build it very well.
You know, Sai reminds me, nobody's too concerned that Yamato is still missing.
Yeah.
Where is he?
Madara, like, pushed him into his Hashirama tree to make the Zetsus better.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's probably dead. Oh, well. So, yeah, Sai just gets totally chatted.
It's so great. He just, if he didn't say I'm also a member of Team 7 and he said just nothing at all, then it would have been far less funny. I just picture him going, I'm here too, and then just dying.
It's the little girl going, I love being alive, and then a nuclear bomb goes off.
Naruto grabs up and saves him. I mean, maybe they should have given Sai like a moment of like, maybe I'm not completely incompetent.
Like just show him taking out one or two at least. I mean, the first shot that one of the Jubimon take at him just knocks him out of the sky.
Like, they even gave Sakura a thing where it's like, okay, maybe she could be Hokage. Give him thing that like, maybe he's not totally incompetent.
Maybe he could go back to being Anbu, right?
Yeah.
Sai's going to say that he wants to be Hokage, and then everybody keels just over laughs. Faster.
That's how they defeat the Ten Tails.
Cuts to Madara, and he's just chuckling and goes, ha, jackass.
The Jubi is producing more Jubimon, and they're getting bigger. And Hashirama seems sort of amused by this. But everyone's begging Naruto to get their chakra back. Or so they can get more Kyuubi chakra, but Naruto can't, like...
Sai specifically is saying, like, I can't do anything, help!
And so Naruto, Sakura, and Sasuke decide that this is not going to be an issue. They got this. And parallels.
Sasuke, their summons.
Yes.
Also, I'm not wrong, right? Manda died.
Sasuke not, kill him?
Yeah, that's not him.
It's just a giant snake.
Yeah,
it's another giant snake.
That's also not Gamma Bunta that Naruto's standing on. That's the little one, right? That's his son.
He has the walking stick.
He's finally grown up, you mean?
Is it a walking stick or a sword?
It's a sword. That's a sword, not a walking stick.
I don't know. It doesn't look like Gamma. I'm gonna have to look up pictures of Gamma Bunta.
It looks like it's a sword that still has a sheath on.
And that can't be Tsunade's slug thing, right?
That's not Gamma Bunta, because Gamma Bunta has a scar over his eye. Gamakichi.
Okay, so he's finally grown up.
Yeah, so this is the next generation of summons. Just like the next generation of the, Sonnen. Parallels. Parallels, Imran.
Say the word. You know you've been wanting to the entire chapter.
I don't know why I didn't expect you to yell that at me, but it was still pretty funny.
Just run out in the rain and rip your shirt open and yell parallels into the sky.
So yeah, they're the new Sonnen. They even call them the trio, because...
Because there's three of them.
I like Sakura with the dot on her head. It suits her.
Yeah, no, it does. I just have to say that it's really funny that, oh yeah, by the way, she learned how to summon the slugs too. We never bothered showing you any of this, but yeah.
Shouldn't they be, like, greatly concerned by the parallels of this? Like, doesn't that mean Sasuke is going to go even more evil?
Hashirama's just going to pull out a gun and shoot him in the head. And be like, problem solved, cycle broken. Later, bitches.
I'm surprised that, I forgot his name, the second Hokage is not just like,
Tobirama.
Yeah, that he has not killed Sasuke in some form now.
He's over talking to the Anbu right now, going like, I got a job for you guys.
Well, he's still technically under the control of Orochimaru.
Yeah.
Who's going to pop up any minute now.
Yeah.
Yep.
Though I gotta admit, like, as obviously parallelly as this last page was, it was still kind of badass.
Yeah, I mean, this is
kind of
this like specific moment is what basically the whole manga has been building to. It was one of the first cover pages.
Yeah, all of them on the
animals,
Sonnen animals. Yeah.
So yeah, no, this was a great moment.
Good for Sakura too to be able to summon.
Granted, it's the worst one, but still.
Good for her.
It can heal, because that's what, they're able to do.
Speaking of which, what happened to, Tsunade and the other Kages? Because she was using the slugs on them, right?
Something like that, yeah.
It's probably dead. Who cares?
She's probably dead. They're going to come back at some point.
It is the Chapter 4 cover page that is all them standing on summon animals.
Oh, really? It was that early?
Yes. It's the chapter that Kakashi's introduced.
In fairness, I love it when they do stuff like that. Like, I explained to you guys before that time Sasuke went into Konoha, and it was the exact opposite of the time Naruto returned.
Yeah.
Like, it was at night, and it was from a different angle. Like, that's probably one of my favorite
parallels.
Or my favorite two panels. parallels of the manga.
Sorry, I ruined your moment by saying parallels.
And oh wow, I went back and looked at the chapter 4 cover and I didn't remember this at all, because I remember a color spread where it's like the actual animals that they end up having, and this is drawn so differently at this point.
Yeah, I mean, that's clearly supposed to be Gamabunta because it has the scar over its eye, but it looks way more like an actual frog.
I mean, Naruto's gotten better in some ways and worse in some ways in terms of art.
I mean,
it got a lot better, and then it took a step back after the time skip, I'd say. And then it's kind of gotten back to being better again.
I wonder if this is drawn on computers now, and that was the point that... Because it was a lot of black. Like, it was just black and white.
I mean, there was a lot of shading back then, too. Like, before every single character, like, if they had non-white hair, you could tell. Then at some point, it was either black hair or white hair.
And then you had stuff like, you know, white hair, oh, they're blonde, you know, and then they show Karen and she's got like dark red hair, and it's like, what? But her hair is totally white in the manga.
Yeah. Like, I assumed it was pink because she was a parallel to Sakura. And that fight never ended up happening. The Team 7 versus Team Sasuke?
No, they're bros now.
I guess.
Karen and Sakura have been bros for a while.
But Jugo's out there and not doing anything.
He's going to get angry at some point and Hulk out. I wonder
if he still
do that anymore?
I thought Sasuke like calmed him down for some reason. Reasons they did not explain, just Jugo was
just
like...
Just like Kimimaro, he's able to suppress him or something. Although that required having the cursed seal, didn't it?
Yeah, I thought Orochimaru absorbed all her cursed seals to like get his powers
back. No, but he is the person who... is the origin of the curse seals. I'm saying that Sasuke was able to suppress him because of it. So now he doesn't have it, so yeah.
I kind of like how badly drawn Naruto is on Kamakichi's head.
Just a little stick figure. It made better in the original.
Yeah, it's probably good. I mean, I think it works well because it shows the scale that he's barely visible.
Next chapter is going to be awesome.
What more stops can they pull?
Their summons are going to summon things.
I think end of next chapter is when we're going to see Obito come back.
Yeah, I think this is going to be like the victory lap thing of them just plowing all the Jubimon and, you know, oh yeah, we can do this, we can do this, and then Obito comes back with blood all over him.
If they really want to go full tilt with this parallel stuff, what should happen is Orochimaru at some point should die, and then Madara or Obito bring back the Sanin for Team 7 to fight.
Hmm. Yeah.
And that's how they find out that Tsunade is dead, too.
Yeah.
I could deal with that.
I mean, ideally that should happen. It would be a good reason why they have not brought Jiraiya out yet.
It'd be a good fight for Sakura, too, fighting Tsunade.
Yeah. I mean, the Edo Tensei is like the perfect plot device for any of this stuff.
But who would do that, Edo Tensei?
For parallels.
I don't think Madara or Obito can do it.
But Kabuto taught him how, didn't he? Like, that was the contingent on their deal?
He told him the weakness of it. I don't think he taught him how to do it.
Was that weakness, you can trap me in a genjutsu, and apparently I'll just do it?
Tell me about this big nose dude, and I'll just totally break down.
So there was this nun that kind of looked like me. It's weird.
And then this teeming boy-hungry pedophile found me.
But seriously, it's certainly reasonable that knowing the weakness is something which will allow him to do it too, or something, because that certainly isn't, that entire conversation hasn't come into play yet.
Or Zetsu goes and gets Kabuto, who's presumably still just standing perfectly still in that cave, which amuses me every time I think about it.
It'd be great if Zetsu walked in with him like under his arm, like just fully
blank. Just set him up like a standee. He starts to touch over, and they have to grab him.
But yeah, this is a good chapter that I enjoyed.
Yes, Naruto's been on a roll lately, ever since that flashback stopped.
I think what's helping is that they're not concentrating too much on Sasuke. Sorry, I thought about the Sai thing and I laughed.
I just picture him like that Futurama thing of the, I'm in a limbo just like Hermes. I'm gonna fight just like Team 7. No kid, no Sai, don't. Whack.
Team 7 is actually pretty large because it includes Yamato and
Kakashi and Sai.
Yeah.
Meanwhile,
and Sai's the only one that could not hold his own.
Meanwhile, Team 10 doesn't even have a teacher anymore, so they've got the lowest numbers.
I mean, really, every team has been doing better than Team 7, but Team 7 has the strongest individual people except Sai.
They get the power jumps.
Yeah.
The other guys have to work for it.
They got the plot power.
Technically, Sai is also supposed to be quite powerful. He's just not really showing it.
I mean, you've never seen it. Have we seen him fight anybody?
What's he going to do? Draw little ink rats and have them run around the Ten Tails? We've seen him use a bird. That's like what he's been most useful for.
Why can't he draw, like, you know, his own monsters? Yeah, why is that not his...
He did do so, if I'm not mistaken.
No, I mean, right here. Why can't he just draw his own set of monsters to fight them?
Because he's useless. I hope Kishimoto, like, actually forgot about him and then thought this would be really funny. Like, just be a dick. Just, it's like, I need to pad out the rest of this chapter. This will be funny. Fuck that.
It's more amazing because it's in the midst of everybody showing how useful they are. Except Sai.
Gonna have Konohamaru come in and, like, just start killing the Jubimon and...
That's actually probably one of my favorite moments of the manga, when Konohamaru came out of nowhere in Rasengan Pain.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we find out that he learned it from Naruto.
Yeah, just, like, watching him.
Yeah.
Then Sai gets shot down.
And actually, Sai, if I'm not mistaken, took out some of the Akatsuki when they were brought back in the...
He also fought his brother, too, didn't he?
Yeah.
Did he fight him, or did he just, like... heart to heart with him.
I think he hearted to heart with him. That's when they put him in like a seal and it's like, oh, you've soothed my hot heart. Now I'm going to disappear. And then they were like, oh, we can beat him with love. And they were like, eh, fuck that. We're just going to seal them all.
And thus Sai's arc was done. And that's why he's able to be used for comic relief now.
Where did he even come from? Was he there the entire time?
What? His brother?
Well,
oh,
I mean, all the Sai. Ninja came back. Yeah. All the ninja came back.
He's been up on his bird this whole time. Just like, I don't know. Just checking this out.
Just in case any Jubi bombs come.
Now, he was probably so psyched. He's like, oh, this is going to be my chance. I'm going to go in. They're going to let me back in. You know, they stopped talking to me for a while.
It's like the end of Ghostbusters where the nerdy guy shoots at the museum and assumes that he's the hero. It's Ghostbusters 2.
Yes. The guy from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, whose name I'm looking on. That's a good chapter.
Yeah.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids was a good movie.
It was. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, not two, not so much.
Yeah.
That was, Honey, I Blew Up the Baby?
No, that's three.
No, I thought that was
Rick
two.
Rick Moranis,
yes.
Oh, no, Honey, We Shrunk Ourselves, that was two.
Yeah, that's the second one.
Yeah.
So I remember Honey, We Blew Up the Kid was like the, well, they've run out of ideas about shrinking, so now they have to make a baby big.
And then, what's it called, at Universal Studios or whatever it was, that was my first experience with one of those, like, 5D or whatever they called it, where it, like, you know, they had the, you
they
know,
they have a,
mist
like,
spray and the...
A fan next to it, and they're like, oh, it adds a whole new dimension.
Yeah, it was Honey, I Shrunk the Audience, so, you know, and it was, you know, you had the 3D glasses on when that was a big deal and that sort of stuff, but the one that I remember is that they, you know, had a thing where supposedly a bunch of mice were running through the crowd and there were little, like, gas would fly through tubes underneath the seats that would, you know, flick against the back of people's legs, and it was really funny because you would just hear screams at the beginning of the audience as it started happening, and then it just moved back through the audience.
That's actually relatively clever.
Yeah. Yeah.
The World of Coke one has one where it, like, stabs you with a thing from the back of the seat.
Oh, Coca-Cola, okay.
Yeah.
I was not.
Not drugs.
The World of Coke has some really good, like, hallucinations. Let me tell you.
All right, then. I say we're done with Naruto.
Yeah, I think we kind of got off topic there.
Watch. Win.
And One Piece is finally back.
Yes, yep. And the cover.
Yep.
Which has... a miss, like, is that supposed to be year or YIEAR?
Where are you seeing that?
It's right next to One Piece on the color cover.
Oh, you're talking about the actual, like, the art of them in the Chinese, the martial arts.
Oh, I was looking on, like, the cover of Jump.
Yeah. No, there's the two-page spread color thing, which is honestly,
I think it's ye are.
Yeah, they're doing.
Which I don't know what those words mean, but I know I've seen ye somewhere.
Yeah,
in relation to martial arts.
You mean like the game Ye Are Kung Fu?
Like that.
Yeah.
Okay. That would explain it.
Fighting style.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's actually a pretty badass cover.
Yeah, that's a great cover.
I like Kung Fu Chopper and Old Man Usopp.
Yep. So One Piece has been off for 2 weeks, so where did we leave off? I think Bellamy had just lost.
Yeah, they had just had the giant punch took out. Yeah.
That one.
So many B names.
Yep.
And Luffy is trying to console Bellamy that he's improved a lot. And Bellamy says, well, his pride's in tatters now, and calls him Straw Hat. And Bartolomeo has a reaction to this.
Yeah.
But it's kind of hard to tell what that reaction
is. Because, you know, he's obviously getting the fruit for someone else. I am sticking with my thing that each one of the people who wins one of the divisions is going to be affiliated with a different one of the Yonko.
Do you think
the Emperors?
I mean, Bartolomeo could be in with, like, Shanks or something.
No, I'm saying I think that he's going to be with either Big Mom or Kaido. And given that he reacted to it, I'm going to guess he's with Big Mom.
Possibly. Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, they are looking for Straw Hats now, but so is Kaido.
I mean, we can't...
They are?
Aren't
they? Yeah, I guess after the whole Caesar thing, yeah.
Yeah.
We also can't read too much into someone recognizing Straw Hat because he is world famous.
Well, yeah, I know, but I'm just saying that, you know, you're having the four champions, Luffy is affiliated with Shanks, and we've already got Blackbeard having one, so I think that the other two are going to be affiliates of Big Mom and Kaido, and back in the previous chapter... Bartolomeo made a comment about, you know, winning the fruit for that person or something like that.
That means Rebecca's going to be evil.
It's possible.
Anyway, we leave the tournament. Thank God.
They're back to Team Return Caesar, which was Law, Robin, Usopp, and Caesar.
Yes.
And as they're trying to cross the bridge that the fighting fish have been harassing.
And it's like giant versions of those fish that we saw earlier.
Yeah. And they ram right into the middle of the bridge, so there's no kind of walking around them. So Law refuses to actually do anything because he needs to save his stamina. So
both
Usopp,
for the fight coming up and for the way back, which is, you know, actually not a terrible idea.
Yeah, yeah. I guess his power is very draining on him, even though we haven't seen that come up before.
So that's his weakness, is that eventually he gets tired.
Yes. Yeah.
So Usopp and Robin just kind of, like, smack them away with their various skills and powers.
I love a giant Robin hand just, like, slapping the fish.
Yeah. And they try to get through, but eventually they realize it's not working so well. So they unhook Caesar and tell him that, or threaten him with his heart.
Yeah.
And tell him
Unless
to actually help. Yeah.
And then
so
he does help.
And he Gastiel blasts a fish away.
Caesar is my favorite crew member.
Caesar for 10th crew member?
Yes. No, he's already a crew member. See, he's with them.
Under duress.
and then they see up ahead, the bridge has collapsed.
So Caesar flies them over, or is forced to fly them over.
But after we've seen some people from Green Bit apparently catch one of these giant fish and pull it back in.
We don't really see who's doing it. Like, a net just kind of shoots out of the mist and pulls it back.
And Law finds this puzzling.
Yeah, because it's an uninhabited island.
And they come across first they see giant plants. Just everywhere.
And Usopp probably thinking, oh, I'm going to be right at home.
Yeah. Seemingly giant animals, too.
Yeah, it was. I thought maybe there would be some, like, reference to the fact that he just came from a giant island.
Maybe.
But...
Yeah, we'll probably have one, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, we just got here. And then they notice a marine warship that smashed into the island.
Recently.
Well, okay, one thing I wanted to point out before we get to the marine warship is there's a small panel of, like, the animals laughing at them.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, sure that's important somehow.
Do you think the animals are the ones that caught the fish? Like, talking animals?
Possibly.
I think this is probably the fairy domain.
Hmm. Yeah, I could see a giant forest, like Mushroom Rose Island, being where the fairies come from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they know that whoever come or whatever non-fairies come here are going to get their asses tricked.
Yeah, because normal people can't see fairies, right?
Yeah.
So that would make for an uninhabited island if nobody could see them.
And nobody can get through anyway, so... So then they see the marine ship sort of slammed into a bunch of vines and trees.
And there's evidence that it's there recently, because the plants are still bleeding from it.
Yeah.
So Caesar starts shouting at the top of his lungs, you know, trying to attract attention.
Which is a great plan.
But, I mean, Caesar himself would get captured as well. Because he doesn't have the legal protection from being underneath a Shichibukai anymore.
Yeah, I don't think he's trying to get attention.
I think he's just freaking out.
Yeah.
Though, apparently, like, I guess Law tried to draw the Marines there.
Yeah, like, in one of the translations I read, it seemed like he was perturbed by this, like, you know, but in the one that I'm looking at right now, it seems like that's kind of a all-according-to-plan sort of thing.
What I interpreted from this was that Law was tried to get the Marines there so he could, like, have a distraction when he needs to leave.
But now that the circumstances are them being stuck on the island...
But also that the fact that the marine ship is clearly slammed into the island, something's gone off kilter.
And how are they going to get back across without Caesar? Because he was the one who floated them across the gap.
Once Law is actually doing some work, I'm sure he can just like cut off a section of the bridge and teleport them across.
Like the X-Men 3.
God damn it. We can't get through one podcast without referencing X-Men 3.
But it's the America's high watermark of filmography.
Anyway.
I really wish I could just smack you through the microphone right now.
Anyway, but the Marines are pretty close.
I still liked our idea better of the whole, oh, he's going to be sending Doflamingo to the island and the Marines to the island, but he actually had no intention of going there. Like, it's still kind of bugging me that they actually went here in the first place.
That seems like the better switcheroo plan, but the thing seems to be that Law does not actually have a switcheroo plan and is just going through with his word.
I mean, he got what he wanted, essentially.
Yeah.
So why not give... I mean, I suppose if Kaido did kill Doflamingo, he'd probably go after Law next. Because Doflamingo would clearly tell him what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe he's just trying to head that off in the past and just damage Doflamingo's army first.
So anyway, Usopp and Robin go into the forest to try and, you know, figure out what's going on.
They see a bunch of Marines screaming at apparently nobody.
Oh, and they had everything stolen from them. I think you guys are right. I think this is the Fairy Island.
Yeah, and they can't see who's yelling at them.
I think it's going to end up, just from the end of the chapter, I'm going to guess that this isn't just fairies, though.
Yeah.
Like, hence the animals being... you know, laughing and that sort of stuff. I think it's going to be kind of like a spiritual fantasy creature island.
Well, what happens at the end is Robin makes a forest of her arms and she feels something touch her that she can't see. So it has to be dwarves.
Yes, she just screams dwarves.
It's Robin being Robin. It's fairies.
Nah, I'm going with it's dwarves because this is the thing and this isn't a conversation with somebody else and this is the, you know, giant surprise thing is all of Usopp's lies are coming true.
Oh, God.
So, like, in the stories that he was telling, you know, way back in the day when he was on his own island, he was telling them to, what was it, Karen?
Khalifa? Yeah, Khalifa.
Yeah.
No, wait, Khalifa's the...
Yeah, no, she's the...
She was the lotion woman? Soap?
Yeah, the CP9 lady.
Yeah.
It starts with a K, though. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Just go ahead.
Regardless, so, you know, one of the early stories that he had said was, you know, about how he had fought a giant goldfish that was large enough to, you know, crap out islands, and then that at the end of Little Garden, they had to, you know, get through that giant goldfish in order to escape from the island. And he talked about having to fight a mole creature sort of thing, and then in the Alabasta fight, he had to, you know, fight the person who had the devil fruit to make them part mole. And then there's, like, other things where it's not exactly what he talked about, but a ton of his lies throughout the entire series have been coming true. And one of the ones that was like the second lie that he told in that story to her was that he had been to the country of the dwarves.
That's so I'm going to go with, awesome.
Yeah, like it's just a little thing which I had not been aware of, and I mean, if you really stretch them, you can even go so far with, you know, how he talked about how he was the captain of a great ship. During Water 7, he was technically the captain of the Going Merry after Luffy had left it, you know, and he had left the crew, you know, like there's a whole bunch of things which you can, like, twist them so it's not exactly what he talked about, but it still works. So I am now holding out hope that there actually is a Sniper Island, and that's where his dad is from.
So my theory about all these invisible things, that they're not actually, like, magic fairies, but this is the island where Kaido has his smile plant, right? Like, this is where he produces smile.
Maybe. There's not
you
too many
this,
places.
This is where the factory is, you mean?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, how does that make people invisible?
I think maybe he's making some sort of artificial invisible fruit. That's whatever the inhabitants of this island on have been snacking on, or it's some sort of runoff. Because that seems to make the most sense to me, is that they've found some ability to become invisible together. Instead of just actually being, like, magic fairies.
By the way, her name was Kaya.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, most of these things, they tend to come down to basically devil fruit powers. And they just introduced mass devil fruit production, so it would make sense to me. Also, it would explain the journalist that got that breaking story.
Well, that's Absalom.
Are we sure it's Absalom?
It's, yeah, it was like an anagram of his name or something. It was Absa.
I'm sticking with that theory for now, though. Devil fruits, not fairies.
What if Absalom is the fairy?
The fairy king?
Yes.
That would be a good thing for, like, it would work out pretty well.
It just turns out that the entire look that we know for him is because Moria had experimented, or what's his name, had experimented on him and sewn on the leopard skin and all that sort of stuff.
So everything in this chapter has been more interesting than everything they've shown at the tournament.
Yeah, pretty much.
Just throwing that out there. Maybe they should have switched a lot earlier.
Yeah. I wonder if the break caused them to reevaluate the tournament and go, like, yeah, let's get out of there for a minute.
Oh, I don't think so. I mean, this was probably written long before that, I would imagine.
Maybe.
Or maybe that, like, they had more tournament, but they started to, you know, bring this in earlier. It's not like they can't just mix and match pages.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like where this is going. This is clearly the Fairy Island.
I'm now looking for a list of all of Usopp's lies. I can't find a comprehensive list, but that's very interesting to me.
Yeah, that it had, you know, mentioned that stuff like
I mean, you could say the Fishman Princess was the giant goldfish. That's basically what she was.
Shirahoshi?
Yeah, true. Well, no, yeah. No, but he said that he fought it and it was large enough to crap out islands, is what it said.
Yes.
Yeah. And don't you remember that from Little Garden, right at the end of it?
No.
I mean, you could also just say it was Jaboon, because he actually went inside Jaboon.
Yeah, there was something else about going inside of a whale, I thought, was a separate one.
Oh.
But no, this is when they're trying to sail away from the island, and both of the giants destroy their weapons, creating that, like, air pistol thing to shoot their ship through the giant goldfish. Like, it is literally a giant goldfish. There's even a thing where, you know, back when he's telling, you know, the kids lies and is entertaining them, they're chasing after a lizard, and he says, it's a dragon, attack it, and then there's a Cerberus, or says, and so, you know, he ended up being in the groups that fought both of those things, technically.
When did he fight a Cerberus?
That was one of the things Thriller, that was the first thing that they ran into on Thriller Bark.
Yeah.
I don't remember that arc very well. For some reason.
He was dressed up like Van Helsing with a flag on his back.
And I remember he fought Perona. That's kind of it.
Well, no, that's the fight. I'm just saying, like, he was part of the group. It was actually Luffy that just kind of subdued it, and then he was starting to ride it. It was right at the beginning of the arc.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they use it to ride to Moria's castle and then ditch it.
And then we never see it again.
But yeah, it's good that One Piece is back as long as it's being interesting again.
Yeah.
If this were another tournament chapter, I don't know that I could have taken it that much.
Everything had good chapters this week.
Yes.
Everything.
Everything. Except for that one that we're not going to talk about.
Oh, Nisekoi.
Ba-da-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Alright, so do we have any thoughts or predictions where this is going after this, or?
I don't know, I bet we jump again.
I think we're going to stick with this one for one more chapter, then jump again.
Yeah. Start getting in a rhythm of jumping, like, rotation of the characters.
Because there's guessing... certainly enough going on to be able to do that.
Yeah.
I'm guessing eventually Zoro is going to make it to this island.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if he's following a fairy and this is the fairy island.
Yeah. I could see him just, like, jumping over fish to get across the bridge.
You jump over nothing, he's just going to cut right through all of them.
Well, I mean the broken part of the bridge.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to get lost and not be sure how he ended up on that island.
Or Law is going to yell at him about the plan. All right. I'd say this podcast is done.
All right.
This podcast has been Juhabok the entire time. This has been your Thursday, June 6th Jumpcast. Guys, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Yep.
We'll see you all next week.
Bleach was so bad.
I'm Team 7 too.
Look at me, Naruto. I can be Team 7 too. No, kid, don't.
Honestly, that is the reason to keep Bleach around, is because if nothing else, it's entertaining and it really gets us energized. One way or another.
I am seriously ready to just put my hands up and go like, nope, done with Bleach. That's it.
I don't know. I just kind of I need to see how far this goes.
I have been on this train for so long, I gotta see it through to the end.